Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Padonis, and tonight we are going to preview the preliminary finals. Two absolute blockbusters to sink our teeth into. Off week two of the finals, where we didn't have a best bet, we just had the mixed matchup, and our hot streak was cooled, unfortunately. A $2.45 tip, Bunnies to outscore Eels, but we lost 40-38, and Parra did have a try in the corner in the 80th minute. I'm nearly over it, though. We're going to go in-depth in the games tonight, see what we can find. We do actually lean the same way in both games, but we haven't got across the line with a best bet. So we're going to get to all the major factors that we believe every punter should consider with each of these massive matchups. But we will kick off the show by giving you our mixed matchup for the prelim finals is going to be Friday to outscore Saturday. So that is Cowboys-Eels to have more total points than the Panthers-Souths clash on Saturday. And that's $2.05, despite the fact that the Friday game does have a total 1 point higher. You can have up to 200 on that. On Toppy, use the code TRIPOD to join Toppy if you want to get amongst it. What was your biggest factor in thinking Friday will be more high scoring, Padonis?
Yeah, biggest factor for me before we get into the full breakdowns of each game is that I feel that that game has high variance for more points. Whereas I look at the Panthers side, we know how good they are historically defensively. I just feel that with the conditions up there in Townsville, one side could get a bit of a steamroll effect happening and you could see some fatigue late in the game, especially at this time of the year up there. And we can talk about that in the coming moments. But yeah, that's my biggest reason. And yeah, with both sides, the Cowboys and the Eels that like to move the ball around and play expansive. And we know the Eels defensively, I think they're ranked 8th this season across the league. So they aren't as good as what the Panthers and Souths are. So there could be some points there in that game. And I do like that game to be higher scoring. And I definitely felt that the total should have been probably 2.5 to 3 points higher. So I love our mixed matchup. We can get plus money.
And another factor regarding the Eels, I've listened to Brad Arthur in his interviews and I watched how Parramatta came out in their dismantling of the Raiders last week. They want to play their footy. They're going to live and die by that. And they're going to offload the ball. And you talked about the conditions, which could make it a bit tricky offloading the ball. But ultimately, more offloads is higher risk, higher reward, could lead to extra points in both directions at certain stages in the game Friday night. Now, who wins these games? How much buy? Which way would we suggest betting the lines if you do? We're going to get to all that, of course, as we always do. But first, let's hear how the markets are shaping up. And I asked for some extra insights as well from Tristan about futures liability, how much the week off and home advantage and other factors like that impact the point spread. Let's have a listen.
G'day, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we've got only 3 games left in the rugby league season. Should be a couple of beauties this weekend where we've got the first game being the Cowboys and the Eels. We opened that line at 2.5, and it's been solid at 2.5 the entirety of the time. The total points actually came in 1 point, gone from 43.5 down to 42.5. And then in the Panthers game, we opened it at 8.5, and it's been solid at that 8.5. However, there has been some support for the plus 8.5. Now, from our perspective, looking forward to the futures books, we've actually got liabilities on both the underdogs in these games. So we're standing the Eels and the Bunnies both for significant figures for the premiership. From our point of view, they don't get near the max liability on that, so we won't use that to shape our opinion on either of these markets. I guess other than the fact that you probably would rather lay the Panthers at the short odds with that in mind, but it won't really come into our calculations for this week. It certainly does at times. It just depends on how you are positioned and to what extent of the liability you're at. So for this weekend, our numbers are pretty similar to where they'd be without, and we haven't really taken into account. With the Cowboys being 2.5 points at home, there's obviously a factor you've got to put into the team having the week off, and I think for the Cowboys, it's a really important benefit for them. Probably a little bit more so than the Panthers. Obviously, they had a week off leading into week one as well. So I'll sort of probably downplay that side of it a little bit, but the Cowboys certainly is a benefit. The fact that they're at home as well does add some points to the spread. So I feel that if this game was at a neutral venue, the Eels would be slight favourites. So the benefit of the week off and also being at North Queensland certainly does play into the Cowboys' hands. We've also got a stack of player performance markets up for the final series, so make sure you check them out. They're all available on the website. We're getting plenty of strong activity there. Punters are getting involved nicely. And finally, we've got the AFL Grand Final, which is this is one that we did take into account the futures liability. We haven't really got a bad position, but generally you find when the favourite's in the Grand Final, you lay the plus because people are trying to put themselves into a position where they can win either way. But we opened the line at 10.5 with that in mind, but it's pushed out to 12.5, just punters wanting to be on Geelong. So that one should be a cracker on Saturday. So plenty of good action over the weekend. Hopefully you find a winner if you're having a bet. And as always, gamble responsibly.
Thanks, Tristan. So that's AFL Grand Final Saturday afternoon, of course, nicely between our two NRL blockbusters, and that's Swans Cats. The AFL, of course, had their prelims last weekend, same finals format as NRL. And for what it's worth, both the rested home teams did progress. One was a blowout win for Geelong, and Sydney, on the other hand, only hung on and won by 1 point. If you've got a tip on the AFL Grand Final, let us know. Tristan mentioned the extra markets. They've got like 10 or more markets just for the prelim weekend. So highest individual player performance, highest scoring team, player that hits the most meters this weekend, player that has the most tackles, all that. So check that out, have a look. We're going to deep dive these games in just a moment, but let's hear what the Axe reckons of the two matchups.
G'day, everyone. How good were the games on the weekend? Really looking forward to this weekend, especially up there in Townsville, full house. Oh, how good's this going to be? I just think the Cowboys, for me, I just think they've had that week off. They're fresh. Eels, fantastic on the weekend. Both forward packs are very dangerous. Playing really good footy, both packs, you know, with and without the ball. So they're big junior Paulo, Regan Campbell-Gillard. But I'm just looking forward to seeing what the Cowboys can produce after that week off. So I think they're going to be fresh as daisies. So I'm going to go the Cowboys. Penrith versus the Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs, fantastic. How good's Latrell Mitchell playing at the moment? Fantastic. For mine, though, Cam Murray. How good is he? I know he's the captain, and he's the captain for a reason, because he's playing outstanding footy. Looking forward to seeing how good he goes on the weekend. But again, I think the Panthers are fresh. Them blokes, they know how to go up another gear now, because they've been there the last couple of years. So I'm going to go the Panthers, but this will be both games going to be crackers. I'm looking forward to it so much. Cowboys for me and the Panthers. So good luck.
Thanks to the Axe. I love the passion of the Axe. He sets the mood for this pod, and he likes the two rested home favourites. He did pick North Queensland as an underdog in week one of the finals correctly as well. So we can't just say he's biased. If you want to follow the Axe and follow Podonis and myself, and now we move into NFL season as well, on Dabble, where you can copy our bets to see what we're backing, use the code TRIPOD to jump on there. Let's jump into this now. Cowboys Eels at QCB Friday night, North Queensland favored by 2.5 points. They named the same 17 that beat the Sharks in Golden Point 2 weeks ago. The Eels, they're sweating on the health of Tom Opacic, who has a hamstring injury and is in major doubt. He will be replaced by either Niokure from the bench into centers, or possibly a reshuffle that could bring Blake into the centers, and that would bring Simonson onto the wing. These sides only met once in 2022, and it's a very memorable result. It was in round 8, where the Eels were 10.5-point favourites in Darwin, only to go down 35-4. Now, we didn't have a bet in that one, which actually implies that we didn't think the line was wrong at the time, Podonis. And that goes to show that it took us a long time to recognise how good North Queensland really are. And look, we came to see that. We had a lot more bets on the Cows than against them in the second half of the year. And we were still making money, because we felt even then the Cowboys were still underrated, especially in the second half. Now we get all the way to the penultimate weekend of the season. You're hosting a prelim. Can a team still be underrated, Podonis?
Well, look at the Cowboys. Haven't they had a fantastic back end to the season? And you touched on that first meeting, and I had exactly the same point I was going to touch on. That in that round 8 encounter, we saw the Cows, they overwhelmed the Eels and ran away with it late in that final 20. I think that was the game where everyone stood up and took notice of the potential of this side. But to be here hosting a prelim final where no one even thought they'd play finals, I know me and you ourselves, we had them closer to the wooden spoon. I think it's a testament to where the club's got to. And even though they're entering this game as the favourite, I do believe that more pressure will be on the Eels, given that the Cows seem to just be entering their premiership window, whereas I think Parramatta are coming to the end of theirs with a lot of their key guys and key cogs leaving at the end of the season. So I think there's more onus on them to make a grand final than what the Cowboys have. And the conditions, I think that they'll be playing on Friday night, it's going to be very similar to what we saw in that round eight match up in Darwin. We've spoken about how tough it is early in the season to play in Townsville with the humidity. And the same can be said at this stage of the year in September. I went and checked the forecast. It's going to be 80% humidity and 25 degrees at kickoff on Friday night. So I think that gives the Cows a pretty huge advantage. And the conditions that suit a fitter team and the team that makes the least amount of errors and who controls the ball the most. So Tristan touched on in his initial recap about the home field advantage. I think it's a pretty decent edge to the Cows. I had this about 3.5. So before we jumped into the matchups, just wanted to get your take as well, Jacob, what you felt this home crowd advantage actually is.
Yeah, so the crowd is one thing, and that can inspire a team, but also can influence a decision. You think that the referees are totally impartial, but that crowd noise and that atmosphere can just impact a split-second decision. That all adds up. And the other factor as well, not just the home ground, but the travel element. I know that the Eels are chartering a jet. Then that also kind of builds in with the conditions that Parramatta's only going to fly in the day before. Will they get used to it? It's a real thing that hits you when you get off the plane in Townsville, that humidity. And they talk about how a humidity game in Townsville can be harder to handle the ball than a rain game because it's sweat that is causing the ball to slip around, which can be even slipperier than water. So that's a real issue as well. And I mentioned how that could affect, could affect the way that Parramatta wants to play. So I think you add it all up. And I think home advantage and travel and also the week off, it's probably worth 4.5 points, which means I agree with Tristan that on a neutral, you'd probably have Parramatta favoured if it was neutral circumstances. And that's why I am inclined in general to want to bet on the rested home team in the NRL prelims, because we always talk about what a grind the season is. And you know, we hear that, we read the injury report, we know who's in and out, who's carrying an injury, but there's heaps of players beyond that are carrying different degrees of attrition that we don't even hear about. And another factor is that everyone remembers what they saw last. So when you watch a prelim, when you look up to a prelim, everyone remembers seeing the two road teams just one more recently. And sometimes they forget just how powerful and the reason why these home sides are hosting the game as they are. So I think I look towards betting the home team, but that's not to say that any of those advantages that the home side gets can't be overcome. We've seen plenty of times where a team that did win week two of the finals can win a prelim or go close, and we obviously saw that just last year. So I'm not ruling out Parramatta, and I think there's factors in both sides' favour when I kind of look at the matchup, but you talk about how you see this matchup.
Yeah, so when I try to compare both teams, I think for me, the Cows are the fresher team. They're well-rested. That's got to be taken into account. I give their dynamism in the outside backs a clear advantage over the Eels guys. And he touched on the fact that Opacek's also a little bit in doubt. I think it's going to be a downgrade if Wonga Blake has to move into that position. I think he's starting to find his feet on the wing. I know he had a bad time under those Cleary high bombs a few weeks ago, but I think he's settled in that position. He's been playing there for most of the season. I think to me, the forward packs are pretty similar, both with their different strengths. They play different ways. When you factor in the bench rotation, it probably nudges it in the Cows' favour, because I definitely feel that they're stronger off the bench, whereas I think for the Eels, all season we've seen Junior Paulo and Campbell Gillard forced to play big minutes just to make up for that lack of size and punch that they do have on the bench. But the one advantage to me that the Eels do have, and that's probably what makes them a favourite on a neutral, is through that spine and their halves. I think with Moses Brown, Gatho and Marnie controlling the ruck there, I think those key moments, those guys are in a better position to own them. I know Townsend's won a comp before, so he's got that experience, but Dearden's still relatively new, and Drinkwater's been fantastic this season, but I wouldn't place him at the same level as some of those guys. So I do agree that Parramatta should be a favourite on a neutral. That's why it's hard to find value in this market. If we're adding 4 points for home field, it probably sets the line around 2.5, 3.5. So it's not a clear edge. If it was under two and you could lay maybe pick them or 1.5, you probably would lay with the Cowboys. But what nudges me over the line in terms of leading the Cows is that Origin experience that all those guys got early in the season. Because the one knock on them is that they are still young and inexperienced, but I really think that that's going to hold them in good stead. When you factor in all the conditions, the home crowd that's going to be behind them, it's going to be loud in Townsville, and it's going to be the hottest ticket in town. They're all going to want to see the Cows get to a grand final, but just not enough value to make it a best bet.
I think the experience one's a big one. I think I've said this before, but it reminds me a little bit of 2020 Penrith. They came out of nowhere. Some people didn't have them to make top eight. So it's similar to the Cowboys, but you stood up and took notice how good they were. And then when you got to the finals, people said, oh, yeah, but none of these players have won big games. But in 2020, a few of the Panthers started to make rep teams, and they had a bit of experience in key positions from playing through an Origin series. And that's kind of similar to the Cowboys. So I wouldn't talk someone out of the Cowboys if they like them. And there is a scenario where the Cowboys get on top and actually could run away with it. As we saw last week, just because games are high stakes doesn't guarantee they're going to be close. However, I'm with you. The biggest reason why I think Parramatta still might be, just in a vacuum, the better side is the spine. I had exactly the same point. I don't think anyone's going to argue 9 and 7 is tilted in favour of Parramatta. Now, Dearden versus Brown, Gutho versus Drinkwater, those are close, so you can take an argument either side, but I think I still lean to the power players as you do. Then I look at the forwards, which is ultimately what's going to win you the match, who's going to win the forward battle. And again, I think it is dead even, like you said. And I think a lot of people are saying Parramatta's got the better forward pack. And I don't necessarily even see it that way. I think it's really even. And I think Cowboys are possibly even deeper, as you said, with their bench. Like, you've got to think Jordan McLean, like, rejuvenated this season, got picked for Origin if he hadn't been injured in the camp. Cotter has been revolutionary and has been injured through the year, so people may forget how great he's been. You've got Gilbert, Nanai, Leilua, edge forward rotation, and it's anchored by Taumalolo. So I give a slight edge to the Cowboys pack. And then the outside backs, both sides have wingers that can finish tries. So really, I think what stands out to me is Val Holmes, a player that can break the game open, which is what you want, you know, in finals games. You want that outside back that can change the game. And, you know, we came into this season, you're looking at the Cowboys and you're wondering who's going to be the fullback. You know, stick with Holmes. You've got Tabuai Fidoh. Do you play Drinkwater? Do you play Holmes on the wing? But is that a bit, you're wasting money paying too much to a guy to play on the wing? And Todd Payton put him at center. And, you know, it's his first season of his career playing center, and he's going to make the Kangaroos, and he's been elite in defense just as much as he has been in attack. And Val Holmes has elevated his goal kicking through one of the premier goal kickers in the NRL. And as you say, the Cowboys have shocked everyone in the NRL world this season. And one of the many reasons is that this team's exceeded expectations is just how well that move of Val Holmes to center, left center, has worked out. And then you bring in a guy like Peter Hicku, who came from a New Zealand team that was not good defensively at all, but he comes in, he's absolutely holding it down at right center and making great decisions and adding a lot of experience there. So I think we've talked about the environment, and that's obviously weather, but also this raucous crowd, and then the humidity and weather builds into the fact that this Cowboys side has the best stamina in the competition potentially, and what an ultimate test of stamina it's going to be for the Eels, who had to play last week, because you know the Cowboys will be finishing strong. You talked about pressure. On one hand, like, the Cowboys are the favourites and they are at home, and what an amazing opportunity they've got in front of them to make a grand final. But I agree. I think Parramatta's under more pressure because this is their best chance to make the promised land. And I mean, you said a few of their players are leaving. Like, it's not too many. Like, Marnie is leaving. They do get in Hodgson. Papali'i maybe leaving. But I just think that this core, like, none of these players, like Gutherson, Moses, Brown, you know, Junior Paulo, Gillard, all the rep players, like, none of them are really going to get any better. They're probably as good as they're ever going to be right now. So I agree that this is their chance right now. Like, if they can't win this game now, then can we be sure Parramatta can ever go any further? So I think that the opportunity is not lost on them. Look, does that inspire this Parramatta side that has had this weight of expectation for, you know, nearly 40 years? Is that going to inspire them to hold on in the final 20 minutes if they're winning this game? Or is it going to be too much pressure and ultimately crack the Eels? When I boil it all down, I agree with you. That's why the Cowboys need to be favourites and should be favourites in this game. To summarise again, forward pack, home advantage, rest, conditions, fitness and belief. But for the third week in a row, I do not want to bet against Parramatta. I believe in their defensive capability. I believe that they've got that kind of defense in them. that can win games as an underdog. We've seen them demonstrate that. And they've got this spine that has played not just a good season together, but several seasons, building combinations, know each other's games inside out, and can come up with match-winning moments. The Eels can win this. I kind of think of it like this. I think the Cowboys, we know what we're going to get. They're going to come out and they're going to play a 9 out of 10 performance. And it's up to the Eels. Can they play a 9.5 or better and book a grand final ticket? And speaking of grand finals, let's move to the 2021 rematch on Saturday, where the Panthers host Souths at Accor Stadium and the Premiers are favoured by 8.5. Penrith has one force change with May suspended. Charlie Staines is in, and I am presuming that he will swap wings and To'o will play on the left. Coruscant is named at 9 but did come off the bench in week 1 of the finals, with Kenny potentially getting that start. Speaking of a bench hooker, and Saliva Pavili is that and more for the Bunnies, and he will miss this game with a calf injury. They're going to miss that punch in the middle and an extra middle forward off their bench, coupled with the fact that Burgess is still serving another game of his suspension that he got in the first week of the finals. And it doesn't end there for Souths. They're sweating on Alex Johnston, who's got a hip complaint, and Jai Arrow, a groin injury. Both trending towards playing, but still some doubt around both. So when you have a grand final rematch, you're instantly going to think about last year's grand final and what are the similarities and what are the differences. And I will say that if you listen to the grand final preview last year, the line was 2.5. And we did say, if you want our pick for the winner, we're going Penrith. If you had to play the line, you'd play Lean Souths, and Penrith won by 2. But we know that that match easily could have gone either way. And what are the differences? Well, in the grand final last year, Penrith, we knew they were the better team, but they were walking wounded and they had spent a lot of petrol to get to October last year. They played in week 1, 2, and 3 of the finals because Souths knocked them off in week 1 of the finals last year. So Souths was the much fresher team. This week, the roles are reversed. South Sydney also had a guy called Adam Reynolds leading them in the decider last year, and he's departed from the club, as we know. It's in much disgust, replaced by his deputy, Lachie Ilias. Same for the coach, Wayne Bennett, legendary coach at the helm, of course, last year, and his deputy has stepped in, Demetrio. So all these factors kind of shift the scales towards Penrith, except for one name I should mention, a guy who didn't play in the grand final last year, Latrell Mitchell. And he's not just a superstar, but he's in the form of his life. Can he help Souths overcome all those other odds, Podonis, and reverse the result from October last year?
Yeah, so not only do they have to reverse the result from October last year, but I was more looking at the recent matchups as well. And apart from that first week of the finals last season, Souths have found it pretty tough to beat this current version of the Panthers side. And I only have to look back to round 23, three rounds ago, where Souths had a bit more to play for. Penrith are missing Cleary and Luai, and they get beaten as a 4.5-point favourite. And Souths didn't have any excuses on that day. I think it was one of those back and forth games where both sides were pretty even and it was a tough and physical encounter. So can Souths overturn the result from that day? They're going to have to be at their absolute best to do so. And I personally can't see it. When I first looked at this game, I was hoping maybe we'd see a line of maybe 5.5 pop up, because maybe it feels like the public are sleeping a little on how good this Panther side are. Because when I looked at Penrith, the last time we saw him play was the 9th of September. You spoke about recency bias. Souths have played twice since Penrith played. We saw him beat the Roosters, they beat the Sharks. And a lot of all the talk in the media is how well Souths are playing. I don't think I've heard any negative press about Ilias. He seems, everyone's forgotten about Reynolds and how good Ilias is. And Latrell Mitchell is just grabbing all the headlines at the moment. So I was secretly hoping we'd see a few 5.5s, because that was definitely going to make me bet on the Panthers. But I think the lines opened up where it feels pretty fair at that 8.5-point number. When you include the rest and the fatigue element, I definitely agree that Penrith are an 8.5-point better team. So, that's the line perspective taken care of. And, yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion on the line as well, Jacob, and where you felt that fit.
Yeah, you said, I think, Tristan, that Top Sport opened at 8.5, but some bookies did open as low as 6.5, 7.5. And I would say well done to anyone who did grab that with Penrith. Because I do still have to lean their way. I agree with you. And even at 8.5, I have to bet the line. I probably got to go the Panthers. And we talked about, you know, rest versus rust and the advantage that you get in the previous match. I'm not going to repeat that. Obviously, the difference in this one, unlike Friday night, the underdog does not have to overcome travel and they don't have to overcome any adverse conditions or really home advantage because, in fact, this stadium is South's natural home ground, but Penrith can't play Bluebet because of the capacity. So that at least is mitigated and gives South Sydney a chance. When I've heard people boil down this matchup, they're massively simplifying it, saying you've got the superstar in each team and whoever plays better will win. So, you know, it's been billed as Cleary versus Luttrell. And it's a, to me, obviously it's very oversimplified, but it's also a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy because if Penrith lose, nobody's going to say Cleary had a great game. And if Penrith wins, well, Cleary's that kind of star player. He always has his fingerprints over, you know, every Panthers performance. Whereas if Souths win, of course, Luttrell shines like he always does in their wins. And if Luttrell is bottled up, then, and if Luttrell is restricted, then it's much more likely, you know, Souths lose. And a good example of that is last year, because I would liken Luttrell's form in 2022, understanding he hasn't played the whole year, so, you know, he's not going to win the Dally M when that gets awarded the next week or so. But he's been pretty similar level to Tom Trbojevic, who had a season for the ages last year. And a lot of people were riding Manly through the finals last year because they just thought he can't be stopped and he's just going to find a way to will Manly to win. But it didn't happen that way in the finals last year. Melbourne completely bottled him up and restricted Trbojevic in week one of the finals. And South Sydney themselves did it to Tom as well in the prelims. So it can be done. You need other players to take pressure off and you need to win the matchup in other areas of the field. And how do you see the overall matchup in the different units, the backs, the spine and the forward packs, Spadonis?
Yeah, so if I take away the fullback position, because we know Mitchell's such a dynamic player and he definitely trumps Edwards. They do have different skill sets and Edwards suits this Panther side, but to me, Penrith are stronger in every other area. And you spoke about the matchup between Cleary and Mitchell, but how good is it going to be watching Yeo and Murray play each other? Because arguably, you'd probably say that they might cancel each other out and they're going to try to control and dominate the rucks, but and also Coruscant and Cook. So there's some good matchups everywhere else, but then I just feel all these fringe players, the outside backs, the edge back roles, I think that Penrith have the edge everywhere. And when you factor in the rust, versus the rest, when you factor in the rest, which I spoke about in week one, a lot of people are using it as a negative against the Panthers that they've only had to play twice in the past month because don't forget they all rested in round 25. But this team has played so often together. They've played Origin together. They've been part of the juniors growing up. I think that they know each other's game so well that I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. And this side has been so historic that they're on the cusp of a dynasty, I feel. And that's going to give them tremendous confidence. And even if they do fall behind early, Souths get a jump on them because Penrith might start a bit slow. If they do not have that game familiarity in them, then I definitely feel that they're going to be composed enough to get back in control of the game. And ultimately, I think that the kicking game of Nathan Cleary is going to be able to pin Souths down. They're going to tire out Mitchell, force him to make his runs in their own end rather than in the good ball territory. And once they find their rhythm, I just think they're going to take over the longer the game goes. And that's where I do put the strength in the Panthers. I think for South to win this game, I think South have to play the way they've been playing for the past few weeks, cause a bit of chaos around the ruck, spread the ball, create some more points in the game. But I just think that the way the Panthers defend, they're going to be able to shut down their best players. ANZ Stadium as well, traditionally, it's a lot slower and dewier surface, so it doesn't really allow for that style of game. I think last year's grand final at Suncorp, I think it suited Souths more on that fast open deck. So that's another favour that I've put in the Panthers' edge. And I just think that this side is too well coached and they're too well gelled together to be able to let this slip. So I can definitely see some people making a case for Souths, but when I boil down to it, I just think the class of the Panthers is going to see them through and pull away late, and I would lean to them. But again, not enough value to make it a best bet. I need to see a six or less, I think.
And yeah, and I agree. That's why I'd lean Penrith. And what a luxury it is that Penrith knew by like round 18 they were going to finish top or at least top two, and they could just focus everything around peaking in September and October, where basically no other team in the competition had that luxury because everyone else was worried about making sure they're going to be top four, or even in South's case, like making sure they're going to make the finals, and then, you know, having to win each week in the finals as well. So it does mean that, you know, Penrith, it's highly likely they're going to get it right. And if you were worried that they hadn't had enough game reps and someone like Cleary is going to be rusty because he hadn't played, they kind of dispelled that, you know, that week one of the finals and were extremely comprehensive and dominant against the Parramatta Eels. So why would you expect anything different? I look at the matchup and I think the biggest advantage to Penrith in this matchup, despite the fact that, you know, the spine has origin players all around there and another couple of origin players in the outside backs, but it's the forward pack that lays a foundation. And it's not like Penrith's forward pack doesn't have reps in it as well. The only players in Penrith's forward pack that aren't origin players are internationals. But I just think even if these sides were at full strength, Penrith would have a significant edge in the forward pack. And that's the thing. Souths are not full strength. No Burgess, no Havili, and a possibly hampered Jai Arrow. And so therefore, it's hard for me to envision this game without seeing Penrith winning the territory battle. And if they've got better territory, it magnifies your ability to take advantage in the kicking game, which I'm sure Cleary will. And it's a really tough matchup for Souths as well if they're losing territory and yardage, because Souths don't really like to play out of yardage, and that's not their strength. They really want to be over halfway and really get into their shape and play their footy, and they may not get many opportunities to do that. One thing I said in the recap of week two as well is that as impressive as Souths were, you can't really knock them for winning 38-12 against Cronulla, but I talked about the shortcoming of this Cronulla side is that their forward pack is not an elite contending level forward pack, and that's why it wasn't so much of an issue for the Rabbitohs. This Penrith one undoubtedly is. So you said people are making the case for Souths. Hey, I mean, they're $3.20 to win. It wouldn't shock you if they won. They have a chance. It's just whether or not their value and whether or not the plus 8.5 is value. Here's what I think would need to happen for Souths to win this game, and they can. I mean, Cook's going to have to play 80 now, and he's going to have to play one of the games of his life. Totola's going to have to lay massive minutes and also have one of the best games of his life. Jairo's got to hold up and get through this one. Koloa Matangi needs to be awesome and probably win his matchup with Kikau, and how good is that? Two awesome dynamic back rowers will be facing off. The Cam Murray-Yo matchup in the middle of the field, I think Murray needs to win that one. You know, Yo starts for New South Wales, not Cam Murray, but I think Cam Murray on his day can outplay Yo. He has to on Saturday night. And I feel like each of those matchups that I mentioned, you know, they all can happen, but Souths probably need all of them or the majority of them to happen to create a match that's in the balance where players like Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell can get an equal number of opportunities in good ball as Cleary and Luai get. And we know what all those players are capable of. And so, again, that's why I would have, I'm with you. Like, if, you know, 5.5, I think, would have got snapped up by Penrith. I think enough shrewd punters would understand that's great value. 8.5 is a different story. But, yeah, I think we lean Penrith, but it's not best bet worthy because we do respect the ability of this South Sydney team for sure. One other thing I said on the recap is, look, you want the week off, of course, but the next best thing to a week off is a comfortable victory, and we can say that is true for Souths as well as Parramatta. Again, that's why I think both underdogs do have a chance this weekend, and I'll be hoping that they can make these games competitive because for entertainment's sake, that's what we want to see. I will also say good luck to anyone that's on the Undertaker's tip from our finals preview. We did the extravaganza, and how about Latrell Mitchell to have most points in the finals? At $31, he tipped on the show, and we all agreed, like, that seems pretty synonymous with Souths making the grand final, which was paying under $10. Well, he's $1.33 now, and I know plenty of you guys are riding that one. Well, I think Penrith wins this game, as you do, Podonis. I'll put you on the spot right now. You can have Penrith or the other three teams. Who would you want to win the comp?
The Panthers, for sure.
Right, so, and I'm kind of with you. If I have to take Penrith or the other three, I probably would go Penrith. I think right now you'll find them at $1.80, $1.85 at best to win the comp, which would be back-to-back, which is, you know, does not happen often. I know the Roosters did it recently, but that is a monumental feat because you need a lot to go right, and it is such a brutal sport, and it is not easy being the hunted, but this Penrith side is special. But, hey, guess what? If you want to rewind 12 months ago, there was a team called the Melbourne Storm. They were an 8.5-point favourite in the prelim. They were the fresher team. They were $1.80 to win the grand final, and they were gunning for back-to-back. And 12 months ago, I would have told you, I think Melbourne will win the prelim and win the grand final. And they didn't even make the grand final. So that's the great thing about NRL. It's not always certain to predict, and that's why we play the games. I'm sorry we didn't give you like a best bet with enough confidence. Ultimately, when we share a best bet, we have to absolutely stand by it and how profitable it will be. And that's why, you know, the ones that you do get off us are very legitimate. It's not just because the bigger games are harder to pick because the lines aren't far off the mark. You know, we've had best bet winners in past prelims, past grand finals, and even, you know, Origin this year. It just comes down to what are the odds and what's the line available to us. But we did give you the mixed matchup again. That's the Friday encounter, Cowboys-Eels, to be higher scoring than South's Panthers. And it actually has a higher total in that game, 42.5, 43.5 in the Friday game, compared to Saturday's down to 40 and 41, 40.5. So jump on that if you like it. Another chance to win a jersey. Comment who you think will score the last try in the Saturday game, which is Panthers South, and the minute they'll score as the tiebreaker. And if you like winning jerseys, comment on our NFL shows, which are on the Facebook page, because we're giving away an NFL jersey this week as well. And we're giving away $50 cash thanks to Dabble in the Tripod Facebook group and on the Banter Chat. We will see you Sunday morning. That's when we'll put together the recap with no Sunday footy, although there's a Prime Minister's 13 test match and, of course, NRLW finals on Sunday too. So, we didn't have anything sharp enough for our best bet, but we can share any thoughts we've got or anything that comes across our desk on Sunday for that. Best of luck, everyone. Enjoy the weekend. Best of luck on your punting. Do it responsibly. We've got a big grand final preview coming next week. I'll give extra good luck to anyone whose team is one of the four that is remaining in the competition playing for the ultimate prize this weekend, including our man Jeff Craner, who I know is going to be in attendance on Friday night at QCB. Last thing to say is Lego.